Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stop Posada's Release, Extradite Him Now conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Gloria LaRiva. Ms. LaRiva, you may begin.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're holding a press conference this afternoon. My name is Gloria LaRiva from the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five. And we're having a press conference today to protest the possible imminent release of the terrorist Luis Posada Carriles and to expose and protest the complete hypocrisy of Bush's so-called war on terrorism. We demand that Posada be declared a terrorist by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, and that he not be released into the public. So we will have a series of speakers, then we will have question and answer. Our first speaker is Wayne Smith, who is Senior Fellow at the Center for International Policy and who was the Chief of the U.S. Interest Section in Cuba during the Carter administration. Please start, Mr. Smith.
Yes, this possible release of Luis Posada Carriles is an outrage. We can't, however, blame the judge. Her point is he's only been charged with illegal entry and now with false statements, with fraud. That being the case, he can't be held indefinitely. And she suggests that he post bond and be released. It all comes down to the fact that the Bush administration, that the federal government, has not properly charged him. He is a terrorist, and he is wanted in Venezuela. There is an extradition request to bring him back for trial in Venezuela, to be tried for the terrorist acts he committed. That should be done. He should be extradited to Venezuela. He shouldn't have been charged simply with illegal entry. That was phony, totally phony, and it's all part of the Bush administration's efforts to treat him softly, not to treat him as a terrorist because, after all, he was committing acts of terrorism approved by the U.S. authorities. He was at a given point working for the CIA. So let's have an honest policy. Let's have an honest approach to this. Let us charge him with terrorism. Let us acknowledge that there is a request from the Venezuelan government for his extradition, and let us move on that request. Let us send him back to Venezuela for trial. A judge said he couldn't be sent to Venezuela or to Cuba, but there's no move to bring him to Cuba. He would be extradited to Venezuela. That couldn't be sent to Venezuela because he would be tortured. That's absurd. The Venezuelan authorities have made it clear that he would be held under the most transparent of conditions. U.S. consular officers could visit him every day if they wanted. There's absolutely no evidence of that. One of his lawyers said that he might be tortured. And so the judge said, yes, so we can't send him to Venezuela. That's utter nonsense. It's simply a deception. He should be sent to Venezuela. There should be absolutely no question of it. The most embarrassing thing is that we talk about the war on terrorism, and yet here we are mollycoddling this arch terrorist, a man who's guilty of many deaths over the years. This we absolutely shouldn't do, and the Bush administration should be held to account because of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Wayne Smith. And now we will hear from Livio DiCelmo. Livio DiCelmo is a resident in Montreal, and his brother, Fabio DiCelmo, was murdered by one of the bombs planted by a mercenary on September 4th, 1997, that mercenary was paid by Luis Posada Carriles. Can you please start, Livio?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Livio Di Celmo from Montreal. Fabio, my brother, was killed 10 years ago. September will be 10 years, by a bomb put by a mercenary on the hire of Luis Posada Carriles. He admitted to the New York Times in 1998 that he was responsible for hiring the mercenary. My family has been shattered because of this. This act of terrorism is one of many that originated in the United States by extremist anti-Cuban originating from Florida, New Jersey, and other points. Little I knew that over 50 years, and more than 40 years from the end of the Cuban Revolution up until now, over more than 3,000 innocent people had died because of acts of terrorism which originated in the United States. My brother is one of many, the same as the victims of the Cuban airliner in October of 1976. Luis Posada Carriles is a terrorist, and the United States government has refused to define him so. I think that the American people should know the extent by which there has been ambiguity on their war against terrorism. This is an insult to my brother's death, to the victims of terrorism, and it should be exposed to all. Every time I speak about my brother's death, I get very emotional. If you were to research the saga of Luis Posada Carriles in the last 10 years, it has been one attempt to commit crimes after another. And I am sympathetic to all the victims that cannot speak right now, the victims of Luis Posada Carriles. To release him is like to release the responsible of an attack such as September 11. In the streets, and this is not acceptable. There should be no room for such stuff in today's world, and I appeal to everyone's attention to get this exposed, and have Luis Posada Carriles, and not only him, but the people who have been behind him, who are financing him, who are protecting him, they should be investigated as well, because there is a nest of terrorism in the United States that has been killing thousands of innocent people in Latin America and Cuba in particular for the last 40 years. This has to stop. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Gloria, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was Jose Bertierra. He was not able to, he was about to get on the phone.
I'm going to have to get off, Gloria.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
While we're waiting for Jose Bertierra to be on, he'll be on in about 30 seconds. I'd like the listeners to know that our speakers for the remaining part of the press conference will be Andres Gomez from Miami, Jose Bertierra, the attorney for Venezuela, and Odalis Perez Rodriguez, who is the daughter, the older daughter, of the pilot of the Cuban airline that was bombed due to the mastermind act of Luis Posada Carriles. You just heard Livio Di Celmo speaking. And by the way, this press conference will be available audio on our website, the website being www.freethefive.org, and five is spelled out. We have all the latest news, interviews with Jose Bertierra, all the information about the history of terrorism of Posada Carriles, and all the developments in the court.
Who's next?
Is Jose on yet? Okay. Andres, would you be willing to speak next, please?
For sure.
Let me introduce you.
All right.
Andres Gomez is a longtime resident of Miami. He's Cuban. He's been a leader of many progressive causes in Miami. He is a leader in the Alianza Martiana, which is a coalition of Cuban-American organizations in Miami, progressive organizations, and he's the director of the Antonio Maceo Brigade.
Good afternoon. What I could contribute to this press conference is the fact that I live in Miami, and as the rest of the Cuban community in Miami that opposes terrorist acts, which is the majority of the Cuban community in Miami, the Cuban community in Miami has been the main victim of this Cuban-American extremist terrorists. We demand that Luis Posada Carriles be brought to justice for his crimes against many people throughout all his years as a terrorist. Of course, this is not an isolated case. In Miami, we have other terrorists, convicted terrorists, even in U.S. prisons, in U.S. courts, that roam free in Miami, thanks to the decision of the U.S. government not to prosecute them and to allow them to remain free. One of them is Orlando Bosch, who, with Luis Posada Carriles, masterminded the blowing up of the Cubana airliner near Barbados in October 1976. And he is in Miami, free, against the will of the U.S. Attorney General's office in 1988-1990, and through the pardon that, in spite of that position of the U.S. Attorney General's office, the first President Bush gave Orlando Bosch. Let me point out that the first President Bush was Director of Central Intelligence when the plane was bombed in October 1976. So the relationship of the Bush family with this terrorist go back then. We here feel very strongly that he should be brought to justice. We have had many demonstrations in the past years and press conferences demanding that the government prosecute him as a terrorist. And we will not give up until it is done. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Andres. Is Jose Pequeira on?
Yes, I am, Gloria.
Oh, great.
Good afternoon.
I will introduce you then. Odalis, vamos a escucharte después de José Pertierra.
Sí.
José Pertierra is the attorney for Venezuela in the request of Venezuela for extradition of Luis Posada Carriles, and he's also an attorney in Washington, D.C., an immigration attorney.
Good afternoon, Gloria. Thank you. Posada Carriles, as you know, stands on the verge of being released from federal custody. And at any moment now, he could be released and take a plane to Miami, where he will then have a house arrest pending a trial for lying on May the 11th. The White House has many tools at its disposal to prevent this from happening. The judge's decision in El Paso, Judge Cardona's decision to release Posada Carriles on bond, does not diminish the tools that the White House has at its disposal to detain him. The White House, for example, could at any moment, before his release, place an immigration detainer on him, as he had before, up until January 11, and that would prevent the Department of Justice from releasing Posada Carriles on bond. He would be, if he is released at all, released simply to the custody of the Department of Homeland Security. So far, the Homeland Security has not exercised an immigration detainer on him. Another detainer that the White House could use to detain him is an extradition detainer. A detainer that is used in extradition proceedings to make sure that the accused will be available for extradition to Venezuela. This is an internationally known terrorist and a fugitive from justice in Venezuela. He stands accused in Venezuela of 73 counts of first-degree murder in relation to the downing of a passenger plane in 1976. Venezuela presented to the U.S. government over 2,000 pages of documents in support of its extradition request, showing that Posada Carriles was the mastermind behind the bombing. The CIA has declassified several documents, and these documents are available on the Internet through the George Washington University National Security Archive. And these documents also show that Luis Posada Carriles was the mastermind behind the 1976 bombing of the Cubana de Aviación flight. evidence abounds. Yet throughout this whole process, since Posada Carriles entered the United States illegally aboard a yacht called the Santrina in March of 2005, the U.S. government has failed to present any evidence before any of the tribunals that have heard Posada Carriles' case. They have also failed to present witnesses in support of Posada Carriles' detention. We saw that in the bond proceedings in El Paso, no witnesses were called by the government and no documents were presented by the government, save for some pleadings where, in the pleadings, the government alleged that this individual was dangerous, that this individual had committed certain acts of violence, and they made reference to the downing of the plane. The government made reference to an attempted assassination in Panama of President Fidel Castro with C4 explosives that would have exploded in an auditorium full of students. They made reference to a campaign of bombs that were directed against Cuba in 1997 that resulted in the murder of an Italian man by the name of Fabio Di Celmo. But no evidence was presented. No witnesses were presented. This is consistent with what they did during the immigration proceedings against him last year, where no evidence was presented, no documents were presented. This federal judge, I would bet you, is very angry that at the government, because the government not only failed to present any evidence, but left this political hot potato of Posadas' freedom on bond in her lap. She knows full well that the government could have presented evidence, could have presented witnesses, and chose not to do so. She knows full well that the government could have presented an immigration detainer and chose not to do so. Had the government placed an immigration detainer on him, the whole bond proceedings would have been mooted out. So I am not surprised that Judge Cardona ruled as she did, because she knows full well that the fate of Posada Carriles' freedom of detention rests entirely in the lap of the White House and not on the lap of a federal judge who's trying him only for charges of lying to immigration authorities. It's almost as if Pakistan were to arrest Osama bin Laden, and instead of charging him with murder in relation to the bombing of the Twin Towers in the Pentagon, and extraditing him to the United States, Pakistan were to simply try him for lying to Pakistani immigration authorities about how he entered the country and then released him into the streets of Karachi. It's as outrageous as that, and there is still time for the White House to do what justice requires that it do. It needs to exercise an extradition detainer or, alternatively, an immigration detainer on him. But this man should not be allowed to walk freely in the streets of Miami.
Thank you very much, Jose. And if you could stay on for the question-answer, even for a small part, it would be great. Mm-hmm. We will now hear from Ovalis Perez Rodriguez and Andres Gomez, who will help us in translation. She is the oldest child, the older daughter, of Wilfredo Perez Perez, who was the captain of the Cubana de Aviación Flight 455, which was bombed and the planning and complete carrying out by Luis Posada Carriles. Ovalis, ¿puedes comenzar?
Sí, sí. Bueno, para nosotros, yo soy la hija de Wilfredo Perez Perez, Fello, el capitán del avión caído el 6 de octubre de 1976 en pleno vuelo por manos asesinas.
The pilot of the Cubana airliner, flight 55455, that was blown off the skies in full flight, civilian airliner, in October 1976 near Barbados.
Luis Posada Carriles y Orlando Walsh asesinaron a nuestras familias.
Luis Posada Carriles and Orlando Walsh assassinated our family.
Hoy nos llena un dolor y una indignación muy grande.
We are justly very upset and very sad for what is happening in relation to the Posada case.
Exigimos al gobierno de los Estados Unidos que cese de proteger al terrorista Luis Posada Carriles.
We demand that the United States government ceases to protect the terrorist Luis Posada Carriles.
Exigimos al gobierno de los Estados Unidos que honre los convenios de los cuales son signatarios y que le obligan a juzgar en su territorio a Luis Posada Carriles.
We demand that the United States government indict Luis Posada Carriles and try him as a terrorist as international treaties that the United States is signatory to obliges the United States to do.
Exigimos al gobierno de los Estados Unidos que si no quiere juzgar a Posada Carriles como terrorista, acceda a la solicitud de extradición que se formuló por el gobierno de Venezuela.
We demand that if the United States government does not want to try Luis Posada Carriles as a terrorist, they extradite him, the government of the United States extradites him to Venezuela to be tried for his crimes committed in that country.
Queremos que en nuestra lucha se una el noble pueblo de los Estados Unidos.
We hope that the people of the United States join our efforts to demand justice.
Que no es ético acusar a Posada Carriles por mentiroso.
That it is not ethical to charge Posada Carriles only for lying on questions of immigration.
Hemos reiterado insistentemente que no nos embarca un sentimiento de venganza.
We have stated repeatedly that we are not seeking revenge.
Solo exigimos que se acabe con la impunidad que ha acompañado al crimen en Barbados por más de 30 años.
We only demand that the impunity which has favored those who committed the crime against our family in that were killed in the airplane in October 1976 be justified.
Y le decimos al pueblo norteamericano que es inadmisible que se otorgue fianza al hombre que no se arrepiente de nada de lo que ha hecho.
And that we ask the people of the United States to be not to support the granting of bond to a man that is unrepentant of the crimes that he has committed.
Y que desafía al mundo entero al decir que de no volver a nacer volvería a llenar de luto a familias inocentes.
And that has repeatedly said that he will again commit the same crimes that he committed previously.
Gracias.
Gracias, Odalis.
Gloria, if I just might want to say something about Odalis's father that a lot of people don't know. Odalis's father was the pilot, as she said, of that Cubana de Aviación flight. And he distinguished himself in those last few minutes of his life with bravery, because right after he heard the first explosion of two aboard that flight, he called out to the airport in Barbados and explained that there had been an explosion on board and they had a fire. And he tried to get the plane back to the airport and would have done so, but for the fact that a second explosion then occurred in the rear bathroom of the plane. When that explosion occurred, it destabilized the plane to such an extent that it became obvious that they would not make it to the airport and were instead heading directly towards Paradise Beach in Barbados, where there were a number of sunbathers that would have died had the plane crashed on shore. And rather than have the plane crash onto the beach in Paradise, Odalis's father bravely banked the plane again towards the water, where he perished along with 72 other people aboard, including a little 9-year-old girl and a 22-year-old fencer from Cuba named Nancy Uranga, who was pregnant at the time. So in his last few moments, Wilfredo made sure that others that didn't need to die would not die. He couldn't save himself. He couldn't save the passengers, but he saved some beachgoers, and he should always be remembered for that.
Thank you very much, Jose, for that information. Very important to know. I will just finish the presentation before we have the questions and answers. My name is Gloria Lariva from the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, and we think it's most appropriate and necessary to raise the issue of the reprehensible, shameful, and really criminal behavior of the United States in imprisoning the five Cuban men who were working in Miami in the midst of the terrorists to try to stop their plot, of which we've heard some of what Luis Posada Carriles is responsible for. The five Cuban men who are in U.S. prison across the country serving 15 years to double life for having opposed the terrorism which the U.S. has backed for over 40 years. And we call, as the outrage of Posada's imminent release to join his other accomplices in Miami, as this comes nearer, we demand more than ever the freedom of the Cuban Five, which the Bush administration has total power to do so. They're in the midst of appeals right now, and we are committed, along with the organizations that Andres Gomez is representing today and people around the world, we are committed to keep fighting until they are freed, and we would like very much for the understanding by the press that these two issues point out the hypocrisy of the U.S. government as well as the double standard, and that the linking of the Fives case is very, very pertinent to the struggle. We also will have, there's also a video that we have on our website which has the pilot's voice as he's struggling in the way that Jose Bertiera was saying to keep others from being killed, but also trying to save the plane, along with a brief history of Posada, and it's available on freethefive.org. We want to announce that in addition to our calling for a demonstration, a protest in front of the courtroom, the federal courthouse in El Paso, Texas, downtown on May 11th, when his so-called trial for immigration fraud will take place, that the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, the ANSA Coalition, which right now is conducting a letter-writing campaign through the website of ANSA, and many other groups in the Southwest, the Southwest Organizing Project, Stop the War Coalition, and local groups in El Paso, will be holding a protest and a tribunal, which, if the court doesn't expose his crimes, we will, to the public. If Bush will not stop Posada, the people will obviously have to. And we agree very much with Odalis Perez and the other family members of the victims of the plane bombing in the Cuban plane bombing, that it's up to the American people to demand justice for Posada Carriles and that he be extradited and tried. So we'd like to turn it over to the operator now and take calls, questions from the media.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if there are any questions, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Did you hear anything?
No, I haven't heard.
Laura Huaydas Munoz with the Associated Press, please
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Hi, I have a couple of questions. One is just really quickly, I was wondering if you could spell Ovales' name for us again. She can spell her name, but that's not my real question. Hello?
Yes. Oh, you want okay. Somebody to spell Ovales' name?
Yes, spell that, and then my real question will probably go to others, so I can continue. My real question is, would the U.S. actually be able to charge Posada, given that the alleged incidents occurred outside U.S. borders? I don't...
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I think there's an easy answer for it. We have used three legal instruments to seek his extradition. One is the 1922 treaty between Venezuela and the United States that speaks only of extradition, not of prosecution in U.S. territory for crimes committed outside. But we have also used two international conventions of which the United States is a signatory party, as well as Venezuela. One of those conventions is known as the Montreal Convention on Civil Aviation. It is a treaty that the United States signed in 1973 for the purpose of protecting civilian passengers aboard airliners. And it has an article called Article 7 that says explicitly that if the country where the accused is found, in other words, the person who is the subject of the extradition request, if the country where that person is found chooses not to extradite, then that country shall, with no exceptions whatsoever, and I'm quoting, shall, with no exceptions whatsoever, prosecute that individual in the country where he is found. You can probably do a Google search, put Montreal Convention, Civil Aviation, and you will see Article 7 for yourself, and you will see that there's no wiggle room. Whenever a legal instrument says shall and no exceptions whatsoever, there is no discretion. It's a legal obligation on the part of the United States to prosecute Posada in this country if it chooses not to extradite. The third legal instrument that we used is one dealing with the protection of individuals from the from terrorist acts with the use of explosives. And that has an Article 8, which has almost exactly the same language as the Montreal Convention's Article 7. In other words, you either extradite or prosecute. There are no exceptions. And what the United States is doing so far is not only is it violating the extradition treaty between Venezuela and the United States, but it is in serious danger of abrogating two very important international instruments in the protection of innocent civilians from terrorists. The United States citizens have a vested interest that these treaties, these international conventions, not be abrogated by the Bush administration because it is in their interest that terrorists be prosecuted if they choose to blow up a plane with U.S. citizens on board, or if terrorists choose to blow up civilians on a street corner where U.S. citizens are concerned. And we can only be serious about a war on terror if instruments such as these are respected. The problem is we have a White House that is choosing which terrorists to arrest and prosecute and which terrorists to free and protect. And that is unsustainable if anyone is to take this war on terrorism seriously.
The last prong, is that part also of Montreal? I'm sorry, I missed that. Or is that a separate?
It's another convention. It's a convention dealing with the use of explosives to commit terrorist acts.
Okay.
It's an ungodly title. It's a very long time. It's a convention to protect civilians from the from explosives and the commission of terrorist acts. But it has virtually the same line. Look up Article 8 there, and you'll see the same thing. And it's easy to find in Google, huh?
And Odalis's name is O-D-A-L-Y-S, and her last name is P-E-R-E-Z, and her name is R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z.
And her father's name was Wilfredo Perez, W-I-L-F, as in Frank, R-E-D-O. And his co-pilot referred to him by his nickname of Felo, F as in Frank, E-L-O. I say his co-pilot because we have the cockpit recorded conversation and the last words of the co-pilot saying, "Fellow, hit the water, hit the water." And Fellow does precisely that. He hits the water rather than have the plane land on that beach. It was on fire as it was going down.
Any further questions, Ms. Munoz?
I guess my question is, how likely do you think it is that, have you had any inkling that there will, that the administration or someone will step forward? Do you believe that he would be released today, tomorrow? Do you have any sense of time?
Well, all I know is what the Department of Homeland Security has said, which is that they are considering their options. They are pretty mum about what the White House's intentions are with respect to this. I know that Posada Carriles' lawyers paid bond already and that they are waiting for the paperwork to go through concerning the guarantee bond that Posada Carriles' wife and son also have to sign. That will probably happen today. I think the moment of truth will probably occur sometime today. I'm speculating. I can't tell you the Department of Homeland Security is going to exercise an immigration detainer on him, but, you know, it makes perfect sense that it do so, because if you take at all seriously any of the things that the lawyers for the Department of Justice told Judge Cardona, Posada Carriles is a dangerous mastermind of terrorist acts. They point out to the judge that he not only performed terrorist acts, but that he led others in the commission of these acts. And Justice Department expressed concerns that release to a private domicile in Miami, of all places, of somebody like Posada Carriles would represent a danger to the community, because he specializes in telling others to commit violent acts. But yet, as I said, they presented no evidence in support of that. So if you take it all seriously, the words that the Justice Department presented to the judge, and if we assume that they're words made in good faith, then I would think that the logical thing for the Department of Homeland Security to do is at the very least to exercise an immigration detainer. Venezuela asked already through a diplomatic note that we filed with the Department of State yesterday that an extradition detainer be placed on Posada Carriles. That is something we have asked for since June of 2005. We have ratified our request through several other diplomatic notes, the latest of which was filed yesterday. And we're hoping that that will occur as well. The immigration detainer, you know, for those of you who don't know, is not really a very complicated instrument. It's basically a letter from the Department of Homeland Security to the government agency that is holding the prisoner, that says to the agency that the Homeland Security agency has an interest in that particular individual, either because he is wanted on immigration charges or there's some irregularities concerning his immigration case, or, as in this case, there is an order of removal from an immigration court. And they simply present that letter to the Justice Department, and Posada is not going anywhere. So I would hope, and I would think that they would do that sometime today. If it is not done, then I think it is a highly embarrassing set of circumstances for the White House.
Why do you think, or what was the explanation that the Justice Department gave for not presenting any information? Was it that it was classified, or?
They presented no evidence, and they gave no explanation.
No explanation.
And
that was unusual.
It's very unusual. And if you read the judge's order, I think she was quite perturbed by that. If you examine the order, she's saying, a lot of serious allegations have been made here, but I've yet to see any evidence. And I don't blame a judge for being perturbed because if you're going to litigate a case and you're going to say that somebody is connected with the murder of 73 people in a downing of a plane, you expect to find at least a few documents and some witnesses. This man was condemned in Panama for trying to blow up an auditorium full of students using C4 explosives. No evidence was presented about that. She even made, in a comment about these charges, she said, Posada was accused of blowing up a plane. He was accused of blowing up an auditorium full of students or some charges in Panama. I think she said trying to assassinate a president in Panama. And she also said he was accused of planting bombs in Havana. And he's also been linked to the Kennedy assassination. I don't know if she was being flippant or sarcastic or just showing her anger, saying, come on, you're making all these claims. Present some evidence. In other words, Fisher cut bait.
I'd also like to say that the behavior of Homeland Security in the refusing to detain him for the first 2 months that he was in Miami from March to May in 2005, when he finally was appearing at his own press conference and it was too ridiculous for the government not to arrest him, that many of us attended were at the court hearings. We weren't allowed in the court in El Paso for the hearings about his immigration. And the terrorist Santiago Alvarez, the one who brought him in illegally on boat in March 2005 on the boat Santina, who has now since been charged with only one weapons count for having arsenal after arsenal of weapons in Miami, he was allowed in the courtroom as a friend, as an observer and a friend of Posada when Posada was in the court. And yet the sisters of Raymond Posada, one of the victims on the plane, he was a young 19-year-old Guyanese man who was going to go to Cuba to study medicine. It was his first plane flight ever, and he died on the plane. Well, the two sisters who now live in New York City came. They prepared for weeks to come to that hearing to be, as you usually see the victims' families come to a courtroom and bear witness for their loved ones. They were not allowed in the courtroom. And yet, Luis Posada's friend and other friends were allowed inside. I mean, this is outrageous. And then in the hearing this past week, that to the request for the bail, we had a reporter there, a friend, and she said that after he was taken into a back room, some of his terrorist friends who came all the way from Miami, who are members of Alpha 66 and Brigade 2506, actually were allowed back for a private meeting with him. They're coddling these terrorists. Are there more questions?
Our next question comes from Jay Weaver of the Miami Herald. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is sort of a question for Gloria and Jose and others. It's been my understanding that the government has tried, every which way to keep Luis Posada Carriles behind bars because he is an embarrassment in this war on terror. And I was just wondering if you thought that they were basically using the El Paso court system, immigration/federal court system, to keep him on ice until they can indict him formally out of Newark in connection with the Havana terrorist bombings stemming from 1997.
Jay, if you examine closely the conduct of the U.S. government in the whole litigation concerning Posada Carriles, you see they have done as little as could possibly be done so as to give the appearance of wanting to keep this guy locked up so that reporters such as yourself, who are very, very serious reporters, can say that the U.S. government is doing what it needs to do. But you need to really look closely. You need to look closely at what the U.S. government has done and failed to do. If there is any seriousness at all in wanting to do an immigration proceeding, a removal proceeding against an alien, then the government is known to present documents, to present witnesses, to cross-examine witnesses. I've been doing immigration law since 1984. I have never seen a case where the government of, you know, the Department of Homeland Security lawyers will litigate it without even so much as cross-examining the witnesses, let alone in the context of a case where the alien is accused of having committed terrorist acts. And that's exactly what happened in the immigration case. And now in these El Paso bond proceedings, the government had Posada Carriles in Homeland Security custody up until January 11. They had a deadline, as you know, because I think you've reported it, Jay. They had a deadline of February the 1st to certify him as either a terrorist or as somebody whose release would be damaging to U.S. foreign policy. It was a deadline imposed upon the government by Judge Martinez. It was a deadline that the U.S. government didn't want to keep because in order to certify him, they would have to present documentary evidence, something that the government has been very reticent to do. And rather than follow Judge Martinez's order, what the U.S. government did on January 11 was charged him with being a liar, charged him with immigration fraud, something that under the sentencing guidelines, as Judge Cardone has rightly said, will only get you several months in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd probably get time served for that. So what it tells me is that in the immigration context, Homeland Security wanted Judge Abbott to grant him protection under the Convention Against Torture.
Mm-hmm.
And in this other case, I think the Department of Justice wanted to cloak his release in judicial garb and say, hey, we did everything we could. It was a judge who released him.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't a judge who released him if he is released today. It is the White House who released him because rather than go through the whole charade of a bond proceeding in El Paso, the whole charade would have been mooted out by a simple immigration detainer that the government already had on him. They haven't really explained why they removed that detainer on January 11. I know why, and you know why. They didn't want to present the evidence.
Right.
And, you know, about the New Jersey proceedings, you know, mm-hmm. there's a grand jury that's been convened in New Jersey. They're examining the source of the money that was sent to Posada Carriles in Guatemala that Posada Carriles used to hire Central Americans to go to Cuba and set bombs and killed an Italian man by the name of Fabio Di Chelmo. And maybe he'll get indicted there. Maybe he won't. I don't know. All I know is that there are many, many tools at the disposal of the White House to detain him and to begin an extradition process. And they've done neither. They've detained him, yes, up to now. But we stand on the verge of having a judge release him, not because of the merits of the case, but because the White House didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Well put. Okay, very good. Thank you for your comments.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
There's also the outright confession by Posada in the New York Times. I mean, that's a confession right there.
It's problematic as evidence. They've tried to subpoena the author's original tape, but have not been successful so far. And I'm not sure they're going to subpoena her to testify about what she knew he said on that tape. It's all kind of up in the air right now, as well as that indictment out of New Jersey. I don't know.
Well, what's not up in the air and hasn't been presented as evidence really is the conviction in Panama.
True. And all these other things you say they can do, they just haven't chosen to do it. And
right.
I just don't understand. Well, I understand, based on your theory, why they're tiptoeing around these obvious choices, these obvious tools, as you put them. But on the other hand, they can't tiptoe around them forever. They're going to look rather foolish after a while. And I think, as you say, we're on the verge of his release, and so they've got to do something. What I know is what you know. They're weighing their options as we speak.
They got a Fisher Cup bait today.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are there other questions from the press?
Once again, if there are any questions, please press star, then one on your phone. Our next question. Our next question comes from Jeff Franks of Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm just curious on the theory on why they're coddling this guy. Is it because it's kind of a thumb in the eye of Castro and Chavez, or are they kowtowing to the Cuban American community in Miami or whatever, or a combination thereof?
Andres, would you like to answer that one? Andres? Oh, he's not.
Pardon me, Mr. Gomez, please unmute your line.
Is Andres Gomez on, do you know, operator?
Yes, ma'am, one moment, please. The line is muted.
Okay, star six, Andres, I think.
Mr. Gomez, your line is now open.
Maybe he's not on?
Maybe he's not.
Mr. Gomez is there. One moment, please.
While we're waiting, where is Odell? Is Odell in Miami, or where is she?
She lives in Havana.
She's in Havana.
And,
operator.
You know, I don't know if you want to hear about her story after this question is answered, but yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, what do you want me to answer?
Why is the Bush administration coddling Posada Carriles? Is it because it's kind of a thumb in the eye of Castro and Chavez, or the kowtowing to the Cuban-American community in Miami, or a combination thereof, or something else?
Well, I think a lot has to do with the fact that the government of the United States for four decades has been protecting this terrorist. Originally, they recruited this terrorist. They directed this terrorist in order to commit this crime. They have been aware of the crimes that the terrorists have been committed. And it is due to this continuous policy of protection of this terrorist that now they do not want that policy to come in the open. It is due at the same time to the fact that the White House has very strong links to all these terrorists. The Bush family has had it, and the White House and previous presidents have had it. And that is probably one big aspect for this situation.
Uh-huh. What are your thoughts, by the way, on what the reaction would be in Miami in the Cuban-American community if he was not freed?
Listen, the majority of the Cubans living in Miami that have been born in Cuba, according to the year 2000 census, are people that have come from Cuba to the United States since 1980 to the present. So they have been victims of this terrorist operations in the past. Those of us who have lived here have been victims as well for many years of this terrorist activity. The only ones that are going to protest in case this man is brought to justice are the terrorists like him and those who support the terrorists like him.
What is noise? Guess it's a riddle. Rodalis, puede, ¿estás en la línea?
Sí.
Sí,
está en la línea.
Okay. ¿Puedes explicar cómo ha sido su familia personalmente afectada por lo que pasó a su papá? Para que la gente sepa aquí que usted
sí.
Es víctima también del terrorismo.
Rodalis.
Sí, comienzo. Bueno, mi familia ha sido una familia que durante todos estos años, 30 años,
during all these years, this last 30 years.
Ha vivido muy triste.
Have been very
y con mucho dolor.
With a great pain. Because of what happened that day in October 1976.
What is that sound?
Sounds like a manual typewriter.
Yes, if someone could click *3, si alguien puede oprimir el estrella 6 para que no se oiga.
The answer already, Gloria.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Oh, one more. I have one more. Am I still on?
Yes, sir.
For Jose. Jose, is there, you said you guys filed the diplomatic note. Is there no way that you could file like an amicus briefing or whatever, they call it in court on this thing?
In criminal court?
Yes.
No, Venezuela has no standing in the case involving the charges of lying to immigration authorities that have been lodged against Posada Carriles. We have filed our extradition request, but, you know, the whole basis of extradition is reciprocity. In other words, you sign extradition treaties and you sign and ratify international conventions dealing with extradition precisely so that the country where the accused is found can stand in the place of the government that is requesting the individual so as to render the individual back to the country, not to be tortured as in the policy of rendition that has become so infamous in the last several months, but to be tried. And what has occurred is that the U.S. government so far has failed to honor its commitments to initiate the extradition proceedings against Posada and have him extradited or prosecuted in the United States for these crimes.
Do you guys know, by the way, is there any hearing happening in the El Paso court today?
No, there's no hearing. There's no hearing. Not today. I'm going to take that call so maybe Gloria can answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
So there will be a hearing on May 11th, and we will be there.
Okay.
We'll be there. Any other questions?
Once again, if you do have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone.
Sorry.
And I'm showing no further questions.
Okay. The recording.
Excelente.
No, todos. Yo creo que pusimos un granito de arena. Y Odalis, si todavía estás ahí, te mando un gran abrazo, mi cielo.
Gracias, mi vida. Todavía estoy aquí, Gloria.
Sí. Igualmente de parte de todos nosotros aquí en Miami.
El de Livio de Montreal también, que estaba escuchando todo el mundo.
Hermano, ¿por qué no dijiste nada?
José, ¿cómo anda?
Bien, yo no sabía que tú estabas ahí.
Sí, tú viniste un poquito tarde, ya había hablado.
Ay, qué lástima que te... Tú sabes que estuve en allá donde Justino, pero no lo vi.
No, Odalis me dijo que él estaba presente al evento de hoy.
No, pero yo estaba, eso fue el otro día, cuando yo fui él estaba en Cárdenas, yo creo.
Sí, es un poquito en todo lugar de Cuba, mi padre.
Había una cosa de fútbol.
Es posible, sí.
Sí.
Si ustedes quieren escuchar, esto va a estar en el sitio web. Sí, Pat's going to put it up on the website. And the also calling to... The recording, it will be a digital recording, and you need to call our office at 415-821-6545. Everyone, thank you very, very much. I think it was important to do. And keep alert for, if you go to Miami, Andres Gomez and the community there will be very much on top of things.
Buena suerte, Andres. Mañana.